Life is a journey. What's your story? With me today is Brian Perret. He's a tech leader, a community advocate, a published author, professional musician, decorated orator. He had a radio show when he went to the University of Wisconsin, and he's a dog dad. Today he's going to be talking with us about the many hats in his adopted home of St. Pete. He's director of Code Box Academy. He's also president of Campbell Park Neighborhood Association. Welcome, Brian.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Tell me a little bit about your journey to St. Pete and to the position. Let's start first with the Neighborhood Association position.
Certainly. Well, I am a Milwaukee, Wisconsin native, educated at the University of Wisconsin. I first moved to Florida in 2008. Wasn't the most fortunate time to be looking for jobs or housing in the midst of the Great Recession. I was moving around quite a bit, and fortunately I moved to St. Petersburg 10 years ago, in 2014, and I moved to the house that I'm at now in the Campbell Park neighborhood.
And Campbell Park neighborhood is an emerging into, you know, all of our neighborhood association people, thanks to Karen Carmichael, who has introduced us to so many. We talked to Jabbar. Now we're talking to you. Tell me about some of the challenges in the past and the good things that are going on to make changes in the neighborhood and through the association.
Yeah, our location makes us a very unique and interesting neighborhood in St. Petersburg. Having Roser Park directly to our east, having Tropicana Field directly to our north, and being less than a mile from downtown while still being part of the historically black culture of the south side of St. Petersburg, we've seen a lot of change over this past decade that I've been in. Some of the things that I think are really positive that give me hope for the future are the active residents that I have in my neighborhood. We really have a handful to a dozen of really engaged residents that really drive the positive things going on in our neighborhood right now.
Well, I see that you rotate guest speakers, you have neighborhood cleanups, block parties, holiday celebrations. It really puts the big C in community, doesn't it, Brian?
It does. You know, I think Dr. LaDonna Butler says it great when she defines health in terms of communities. That's how I very much see it. I don't really see it as altruism or me going out and helping my community. By helping my community, I'm helping myself. I'm serving my own best interests. And when you frame it that way, and the people in my neighborhood often frame it that way, it allows us to put all of our hearts into the work that we do.
And today, empowering opportunities for communities and individuals in need. This is a driving message both in what you do with Code Box and what you're doing as president of the Campbell Park Neighborhood Association, isn't it?
That's right. You know, I've had a lot of people in my life that helped me get to where I am. Nobody gets success alone. We all have help. We all have mentors. And I've traveled a very interesting path, and I've seen a path to success. I also see tremendous opportunity for people in our communities to really upskill their life through access to high-paying jobs. And that really drives my work at CodeBox.
So let's talk about this. I know that you sit on the Digital Inclusion Leadership Council. Tell us about that and tell us about CodeBox and what you do.
Yes, the Digital Inclusion Leadership Network, or the Digital Inclusion Network, is it's a collaborative effort across Tampa, St. Pete, Clearwater. Many different stakeholders come together, and our aim is to narrow the technology gap. So whether that means providing devices for individuals, providing training for individuals, working together to make sure that people have access to internet and that people have access to programs to help them use all of these tools.
You told me that tech is broader than people think, and I know that you're teaching the design, the implementation, and assessment of programs here at CodeBox Academy. Tell us a little bit about how people can get involved, what you're teaching.
Definitely. First thing that I would say is if you really want to get involved, go to academy.codebox.com. Look at our website, see some of the things that we do, read our testimonials. For everybody listening, I want to share this one true message for you, that there is a place for you in tech. When I first got into this, that wasn't something that I learned. I thought tech was mainly for the people sitting in the cubicles with their keyboards, typing away at the ones and zeros. As technology advances, as culture advances, as industry evolves, technology is innovating and innervating every aspect of every business. And this has just been accelerated by the pandemic, where now every business has to have an online presence. Most businesses have to have point of sale on their website. Each one of these business processes has associated with it a program manager, a salesperson. So it's important to have technical literacy in almost every job. And that's what we focus on in CodeBox. It's not just creating developers, creating programmers, but creating the next generation of tech talent across all business needs.
Well, there's some big news I see in Catalyst, and that is that you are collaborating with Big Brothers, Big Sisters of Tampa Bay, and Modify. Tell us a little bit about that new partnership as of June.
Yeah, at CodeBox, my mandate is to make CodeBox synonymous with every layer of tech in the Tampa Bay region. The way we do that is through relationships. We get out and we meet people who are both serving the needs of the communities that we're trying to engage and who are also trying to advance the technical scene here in Tampa Bay. And so through partnerships with Big Brothers and Big Sisters, where we're partnering to teach and identify some of their young individuals, help find pathways for them into tech. Because the program we have is a very strong alternative to college for people for whom college is financially not possible. People who have experienced and who have shown a proclivity and an aptitude for these tech careers, it's a pathway for them to gain access to these careers.
You know, one of the things I think is amazing is that my 10-year-old grandson can do coding, HTML, CSS, JavaScript, and can build a website. This is not unusual these days, correct?
Correct. There are more and more tools. It is more and more universal, the ability for somebody to go out and create a website for yourself. You don't necessarily need to know code to create a good website. But you do need to know the strong fundamentals. You need to know what is the difference between a good website and a bad website. Balance, content, hierarchy, navigation. These are things that even though technologies may advance and evolve, these best practices, they stay very much the same. What makes a strong user experience? What makes a strong user interface? These things stay the same often.
Now, you and I started talking about ChatGPT and the new AI. How do you see AI servicing in a good way? And what should you be learning now?
I'm laughing because I recall in our discussion before the interview, I make the analogy of ChatGPT and some of these AI tools as giving an AK to a baby. They're very powerful tools, and when wielded by people who don't have the experience and have the training to use them properly, they're often used quite to their detriment. We were almost forced into developing curriculum and training for AI. We started noticing last spring that all of a sudden our students are using ChatGPT to find solutions for their programs, and it was often leading them down these rabbit holes that we had to pull them out of. And so out of just necessity, we've developed these curriculum, and I tell you, it is so exciting. The tools are getting stronger every day. The use cases are expanding.
How do you use ChatGPT or AI in your own work for strategic planning, for branding, for research? Share with us some of how you use it.
Definitely. There are three ways that I use ChatGPT. I use it as a first creation of an outline. So whenever I have a project, whether it be giving a speech, developing a program, creating a new strategy, I put in my requirements to ChatGPT or Gemini, whatever tool that I'm using, and I have it spit out a first iteration for me. One thing that's important, whenever you're using these tools, you want to iterate with them. Something else that I do is whenever I have a finished piece of content that I like and is strong, sometimes I'll put it in and ask for the tool to evaluate it, give me some different phrases or words, look at it a different way. And they'll often spit back other options that have different emphasis.
Well, I want to ask you this. I see that you also are involved in music. How do you use AI and the new tools in your saxophone player, bass guitarist, percussion, vocalist, piano? I would assume you use it, and you busk as well.
Yeah.
And you talk about STEAM and the importance of creativity and sciences. Tell me a little bit about how tech and AI are involved in your life in music culture and on a bigger picture, more involved in the music scene.
Definitely. Well, my music, I am very much a Luddite. I take my saxophone and my bike and I go out there and I play my sax. I do use AI to help me identify some of the songs that I would use as my backgrounds. And I also use AI when I'm creating my social media posts. So oftentimes, it can be hard to create strong content in social media day in and day out. And even when you do, oftentimes you have your own voice. It can come across sounding monotonous. And I often use ChatGPT or Google Gemini to help me say things in a different voice. But when I'm out there on my sax, it's just me and the music.
You know, I can never imagine you would sound monotonous. You were recently a TEDx talker at Palladium. Tell us a little bit about the message that you delivered to that audience.
That was such a blessing of an experience. From just hearing about it, a mutual friend of ours, Beatrice Farrell, tagged me on LinkedIn and said, "Brian, they're doing this. You should check it out." And from the second I saw it, it just felt like it was meant to be. I'm an educator. I'm an orator. I'm a techie. And here we have St. Petersburg College having a TEDx where the focus is on redefining learning for the next generation. That's what I do. And so as soon as I got it, the application process was awesome. Working with the people from SPC was a joy. And standing on the stage at the Palladium, standing on that red circle with the TEDx letters behind you, it really was quite the moment. And despite being a practice orator, I got up there and I had some butterflies in my stomach, but it went well.
I want to turn our attention to another passion of yours, because Brian is so interesting. We've talked a little bit about Code Box Academy, Brian Pare. We're listening to him today on Radio St. Pete. And we've talked about the Campbell Park neighborhood. I want to come back to that in a minute. But you're a member of the Mayor's Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Committee. And, you know, our car-free conversations is a regular part of Radio St. Pete. Let's talk about the pleasure of biking and the dangers and being careful.
Bicycling is maybe my favorite thing to do, period. I've been biking since I was a kid. I spent 10 years in Madison, Wisconsin on that campus, didn't own a car. I biked everywhere. When I lived in Riverview, I biked. I live in St. Petersburg now, I bike. I'm the leader of St. Pete Critical Mass. It's the largest bike ride. As a matter of fact, we're riding this Friday at 7 o'clock from the St. Pete Bike Co-op. Come join us if you want to.
And you're a two-time hit-and-run survivor, so I guess you're going to talk about the importance of helmets.
That's right. One thing, it's an unavoidable aspect of urban riding. There are collisions, and sometimes those collisions involve bicycles. If you ride enough, you're going to be involved in one. I seem to be involved in one about one every 5 years. I am grateful that, you know, through my experience, I'm always keeping my head on a swivel and having an idea of what my surroundings are and wearing a helmet. The accidents that I have not resulted in any major injuries with me. But yeah, I was the victim of a hit and run about 2 or 3 weeks ago. I was grateful enough to be able to walk away from it. But yeah, the fire and rescue came to the scene. The St. Pete Police Department came to the scene. Both were exemplary, very professional, very quick. Got the matter thorough. We haven't caught the individual yet, but I'm okay, and that's the most important thing.
Well, thank you for sharing that. What kind of bike do you ride?
I ride a Cannondale Quick Jumbo. It's very hard to find this bike. It took me 18 months to find this thing during the pandemic. Working with my friends down at the bikery, went and, you know, found scouring online for the right frame because, you know, they have small, medium, large, extra large, and then jumbo. I was able to find a jumbo frame because your listeners can't see, but I'm 6'5", 260 pounds. And I put a lot of stress on a bicycle. So I had to find a quality machine that can handle me, and I'm grateful to have my baby.
And yet we call Brian Pare our gentle giant. Brian, I want to talk to a little bit of a controversial subject in this town. Of course, there's going to be a vote next week. Tell us about, from your point of view, or the Campbell Park neighborhood point of view, the good and the bad of the Ray's-Hines deal. Do you mind talking about that?
I don't mind at all. I serve as president of the Campbell Park Neighborhood Association, and this is one of, if not the biggest issue going on in our neighborhood right now. Like I said, we're right next to Campbell Park. We're right next to Tropicana Field, and this is something we talk about. We've met with our neighbors. I've been part of town halls. We've met with representatives from the city government. I've had conversations individually and been part of meetings. We've met with the Rays organization. And this is an extremely complicated thing with a lot of moving parts. One thing that I will say is we have not seen a complete consensus in our neighborhood. We have people who feel many different ways about it. One thing that I think is, and it's important to note, is that I am the president of the Campbell Park neighborhood. What my job is to support the best interests of the people who live in my neighborhood. So I will not share my personal views at this point. I don't think that's appropriate. What I do think is appropriate is for me to think about and make sure that no matter what happens, we are going to benefit.
Well said, and such an important topic. Thank you so much for sharing that. What haven't we touched on today that you'd like to talk about?
I got my dog on my mind.
Let's talk about your fur baby.
My fur baby.
Name?
His full name is Santino Corleone Pere. I call him Sunny. He's the sunshine pupper here in St. Puppersburg. I named him for the weather here in the Sunshine City, and he is a joy. He is a small-time celebrity on social media. When people see him, they walk up and they say hi to him before they say hi to me.
How do we follow him on social media?
Oh, just go to my Facebook page. He doesn't have his own thing yet. You go to my page and you'll see him there. He's a joy in my life. He's also the reason why I currently can't own nice things. He's still a puppy, and his teeth are very curious.
Well, we have Karen Carmichael producing for us today, and between Gio and Sunny, I think we might have, and our next person, Peyton Davis, is the Pets Humane Society's 75th anniversary. Was your dog a rescue dog?
Yes, I got my dog from Pinellas County, with Animal Services up there on Ulmerton Road.
We always say, do not buy. There is a baby, a fur baby for every home. So Brian Pere, Code Box in Campbell Park, neighborhood president, we thank you so much for being on Radio St. Pete. And it's been an interesting talk. We look forward to having you back. And perhaps you'll grace us with your former radio show at the university. When it was called again?
Gray Matters.
All right. So this is Gray Matters with Brian Pere. Thank you so much for being here, Brian.
Thank you. It has been a true honor.